Good morning. Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church on this last Sunday of 2019. First, I'd like to thank Pastor John Paul Meyer for filling in for Pastor Bomsch, who went on vacation and promptly got sick. And also Randy Werschmidt, who is the organist, filling in for John today. Just a couple of brief announcements. You will notice that the bulletin is, we've gone back to the one-page bulletin in the interest of saving paper. But the order of service starts on page 151 in the front of the hymnal, so you should have no trouble following along. Please check your mailboxes. The new envelopes are in there, as well as usher schedule, acolyte schedule, and all kinds of good things. So check your mailbox after church. And last but not least, we will be holding an undecorating party on the 11th of January. The more the merrier when it comes to getting the job done quickly so we can all go home. So starting at 9 o'clock on Saturday the 11th, we'll be taking the Christmas decorations down. Thank you very much.
Now, when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years older and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Our text is Galatians 4, 4 and 5. In Jesus' name, amen. On this fifth day of Christmas, I have a couple of Christmas wishes. First of all, I wish our Lord had talked more about justification by grace through faith. And second, I wish Paul had written more about Jesus. And I mean, not just the fact that he lived and he died and he rose again. I mean, if Moses and the manna are included in Paul's writings, why not the feeding of the 5,000? And if the parting of the Red Sea makes the cut, why not Jesus walking on water? For that matter, we might ask, why doesn't Paul give us just a little bit of Christmas? What Paul had to say about Christmas, he says in one sentence. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. There you have it. The Nativity without the bells and tinsel. Paul would have us know that Christmas is more than a feeling. What was important for Paul was the conception, the birth, the redemption, the atonement, the vicarious satisfaction, all resulting in us being included in God's family. So listen again to Paul's words. But when the fullness of time had come, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. God sent his son. An angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin. And he came to her and said, "And he shall be the Son of the Most High, born of the Virgin." And the angel said to her, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, born under the law." And she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, for there was no room in the guest room, to redeem those who were under the law. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, that we might receive the adoption as sons." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." When Herod heard the news of Jesus, he was disturbed. And when Paul heard the news of Jesus, he too was disturbed. Herod responded by killing over dozens of little boys. And Paul responded by breathing murderous threats against all the churches and against all Christians. Of course, back then, his name was Saul, and his well-known victim was Stephen. And Stephen preaches about Jesus, and Saul breathes out those threats against the Christians. Paul beams with pride as Stephen is carried out of the city. And finally, it's Paul who holds the coats so they can throw stones. And Stephen prays, "Do not hold this sin against them." No, Saul didn't get the chance to be able to snuff out the life of Mary's little baby. But he did the next best thing. He saw that stones were thrown at Stephen because those stones were aimed at Christ. How would you like to have that on your conscience? Or how many times have we awakened in a cold sweat, realizing the things that we had done? What did Paul see when he looked at the Nativity? He saw an innocent baby who would die an innocent man. He saw the face of Stephen. He saw the face of Jesus, and he heard Jesus say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" For Paul the sinner, Christmas had to be much more than a precious moment or Hallmark moment. Santa is a lot of fun, but when you have blood on your hands, the question of who's been naughty or nice doesn't begin to get at the problem. The real sinner needs more. More than the world has to offer. More than even much of the church has to offer. Paul, the sinner, needed more than Christ as a heartwarming example of how to live a better life. It was much too late for that. Paul the sinner needed more than Christ the victor. After all, Paul was the oppressor, not the oppressed. What he needed was the dawn of redeeming grace. He didn't need a theory about atonement. He needed atonement. He needed one born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. Did you notice that when you came to Christmas Eve services, there was more than one person holding, a Kleenex or hanky? Candlelight services kind of do that. Memories of loved ones who've passed away. Memories of those who are far away. The songs of children take us back to when our children were in the choir. The songs of children bring back memories of when we were in the choir. And so it is, along with the eggnog, Christmas serves a generous heaping of nostalgia, sad and sweet. But the nostalgia is made even sadder when it is garnished with more, the bitter herb of memories we just as soon pass over. When we think of what once was, we are reminded of times that we have harmed others, acted selfishly, made matters worse. Thinking of what might be, we are reminded that our own little world is a mess, because we made it that way. And there's no one else to blame. And as we reflect, perhaps we'll conclude that it wasn't such a wonderful life after all. What to do? When confronted with the ghosts of our past, we might choose the path of Scrooge and vow to amend our sinful lives. But what if you're too late? Scrooge vowed and was relieved to find that Tiny Tim was alive. Stephen, though, was dead. And Paul's nightmare was his life. And there was nothing that he could do about it. It's the kind of thing that can bring a grown man to cry, like David, who cries before the Lord, "For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned." It's Peter, hearing the cock crow for the second time and then breaking down in bitter tears at his repeated denial. It's the Paul in each of us. "The Lord I think of so little, the Lord I shove out of my way. Yes, that Lord Jesus that came into the world, not in power, but in the weakness of a child. Not to demand payback, but to make payment for my sin. Not to breathe murderous threats, but to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward all." Hear then the shofar of the prophets, the trumpet of the saints. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Cry with sorrow and then weep with joy. Receive with Paul the gift of innocence. What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping? The one born of woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those under the law. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. And that's good news. And since it is, and since I began the sermon with two wishes, I'd like to end with a third wish. Along with Paul, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy circumcision in name of Jesus. Amen.